Next, we're asked to distinguish between normal goods and inferior goods. Earlier, we defined normal goods and inferior goods in terms of their income elasticity of demand. A normal good is one for which the income effect is positive. An inferior good is one for which the income effect is negative. A specific good may be a normal good for some ranges of income and an inferior good for other ranges of income. For a really poor person or population, think of an undeveloped country, an increase in income may lead to greater consumption of noodles or rice. Now, if incomes rise a bit, think of a college student or a developing country, more meat or seafood may become part of their diet. Over this range of incomes, noodles can be an inferior good and ground meat a normal good. If incomes rise to a higher range, think graduated from college and got a job, the consumption of ground meat may fall in favor of preferred cuts of meat. In this range of income, ground meat can be an inferior good. For many of us, commercial airline travel is a normal good. When our incomes rise, vacations are more likely to involve airline travel, be more frequent, and extend over longer distances, so that airline travel is a normal good. For wealthy people, think hedge fund manager, an increase in income may lead to travel by private jet and a decrease in the quantity of commercial airline travel demanded. A Giffen good is an inferior good for which the negative income effect outweighs the positive substitution effect when price falls. A Giffen good is theoretical and would have an upward sloping demand curve. At lower prices, a smaller quantity would be demanded as a result of the dominance of the income effect over the substitution effect. Note that the existence of a Giffen good is not ruled out by the axioms of the theory of consumer choice. A Veblen good is one for which a higher price makes the good more desirable. The idea is that the consumer gets utility from being seen to consume a good that has high status, for example, a Gucci bag, and that a higher price for the good conveys more status and increases its utility. Such a good could conceivably have a positively sloped demand curve for some individuals over some range of prices. If such a good exists, there must be a limit to this process, or the price would rise without limit. Note that the existence of a Veblen good violates the theory of consumer choice. If a Veblen good exists, it is not an inferior good, so both the substitution and income effects of a price increase are to decrease consumption of the good. The next LOS is to describe the phenomenon of diminishing marginal returns. Factors of production are the resources a firm uses to generate output. Factors of production include land, where the business facilities are located, labor, includes all workers from unskilled laborers to top management, capital, sometimes called physical capital or plant and equipment to distinguish it from financial capital, refers to manufacturing facilities, equipment, and machinery. Materials refers to inputs into the productive process, including raw materials such as iron ore or water, or manufactured inputs such as wire or microprocessors. For economic analysis, we often consider only two inputs, capital and labor. The quantity of output that a firm can produce can be thought of as a function of the amounts of capital and labor employed. Such a function is called a production function. If we consider a given amount of capital, a firm's plant and equipment, we can examine the increase in total product that will result as we increase the amount of labor employed. The output with only one worker is considered the marginal product of the first unit of labor. The addition of a second worker will increase total product by the marginal product of the second worker. The marginal product of, or additional output from, the second worker is likely greater than the marginal product of the first. This is true if we assume that two workers can produce more than twice as much output as one, because of the benefits of teamwork or specialization of tasks. At this low range of labor input, remember we are holding capital constant, we can say that the marginal product of labor is increasing. As we continue to add additional workers to a fixed amount of capital, at some point, adding one more worker will increase total product by less than the addition of the previous worker, although total product continues to increase. When we reach the quantity of labor for which the additional output for each additional worker begins to decline, we have reached the point of diminishing marginal productivity of labor, or that labor has reached the point of diminishing marginal returns. Beyond this quantity of labor, the additional output from each additional worker continues to decline. There is theoretically some quantity for labor for which the marginal product of labor is actually negative. That is, the addition of one more worker actually decreases total output. Next, we have an LOS asking us to determine and describe break-even and shutdown points of production. In economics, we define the short run for a firm as the time period over which some factors of production are fixed. Typically, we assume that capital is fixed in the short run so that a firm cannot change its scale of operations over the short run. All factors of production are variable in the long run. The firm can let its leases expire and sell its equipment, thereby avoiding the costs that are fixed in the short run. As a simple example of shutdown and break-even analysis, consider a retail store with a one-year lease, a fixed cost, and one employee, a quasi-fixed cost, so that variable costs are simply its cost of merchandise. If the total sales revenue just covers both fixed and variable costs, price equals average revenue and average total cost, so we are at the break-even output quantity, and economic profit equals zero. During the period of the lease, the short run, as long as items are being sold for more than their cost, that is, as long as average revenue is greater than average variable cost, the store should continue in operation. If items are sold for less than their cost, losses would be reduced by shutting down the business in the short run. In the long run, a firm should shut down if the price is less than average total cost, regardless of the relation between price and average variable cost. We can examine shutdown and break-even points under perfect competition and under imperfect competition. In the case of a firm under perfect competition, price, marginal revenue, and average revenue are equal. For a firm under perfect competition, we can use cost functions to examine the profitability of the firm at different output prices. When price and average revenue equal average total cost, the firm is making an economic profit of zero. At a higher price, economic profit is positive, and at lower prices, the firm has economic losses. Because some costs are fixed in the short run, it will be better for the firm to continue production in the short run as long as average revenue is greater than average variable costs, because at least some of the firm's fixed costs are covered by continuing to produce and sell its product. If the firm were to shut down, losses would be equal to the fixed costs that still must be paid. As long as price is greater than average variable costs, the firm will minimize its losses in the short run by continuing in business. If average revenue is less than average variable cost, the firm's losses are greater than its fixed costs, and it will minimize its losses by shutting down production in the short run. In this case, the loss from continuing to operate is greater than total fixed costs, the loss if the firm is shut down. In the long run, all costs are variable, so a firm can avoid its short-run fixed costs by shutting down. For this reason, if price is expected to remain below average total cost in the long run, the firm will shut down rather than continue to generate losses. To sum up, if average revenue is less than average variable cost in the short run, the firm should shut down. This is its short-run shutdown point. If average revenue is greater than average variable cost in the short run, the firm should continue to operate even if it has losses. In the long run, the firm should shut down if average revenue is less than average total cost. This is the long-run shutdown point. If average revenue is just equal to average total cost, total revenue is just equal to total cost, and this is the firm's break-even point. Now we can look at shutdown and break-even under imperfect competition. For price searcher firms, those that face downward sloping demand curves, we could compare average revenue to average total cost and average variable cost, just as we did for price taker firms, to identify shutdown and break-even points. However, marginal revenue is no longer simply equal to price. We can, however, still identify the conditions under which a firm is breaking even, should shut down in the short run, and should shut down in the long run in terms of total costs and total revenue. These conditions are: if total revenue equals total cost, the firm is breaking even. If total revenue is less than total cost, but greater than total variable cost, the firm should continue to operate in the short run, but shut down in the long run. If total revenue is less than total variable cost, the firm should shut down in the short run and the long run. These relations hold for both price taker and price searcher firms. Because price does not equal marginal revenue for a firm in imperfect competition, analysis based on total costs and revenues is better suited for examining its break-even and shutdown points. If the entire total cost curve exceeds total revenue, so that there is no break-even point, the firm will want to minimize the economic loss in the short run by operating at the quantity corresponding to the smallest negative value of total revenue minus total cost. The last LOS for this topic review is to describe how economies of scale and diseconomies of scale affect costs. While plant size is fixed in the short run, in the long run, firms can choose their most profitable scale of operations. Because the long-run average total cost curve is drawn for many different plant sizes or scales of operation, each point along the curve represents the minimum average total cost for a given plant size or scale of operations. We draw the long-run average total cost curve as U-shaped. Average total costs first decrease with larger scale and eventually increase. The lowest point on the long-run average total cost curve corresponds to the scale or plant size at which the average total cost of production is at a minimum. This scale is sometimes called the minimum efficient scale. Under perfect competition, firms must operate at minimum efficient scale in long-run equilibrium, and long-run average total cost will equal the market price. Recall that under perfect competition, firms earn zero economic profit in long-run equilibrium. Firms that have chosen a different scale of operations with higher average total costs will have economic losses and must either leave the industry or change to minimum efficient scale. The downward sloping segment of the long-run average total cost curve indicates that economies of scale or increasing returns to scale are present. Economies of scale result from factors such as labor specialization, mass production, and investment in more efficient equipment and technology. In addition, the firm may be able to negotiate lower input prices with suppliers as firm size increases and more resources are purchased. A firm operating with economies of scale can increase its competitiveness by expanding production and reducing costs. The upward sloping segment of the long-run average total cost curve indicates that diseconomies of scale are present. Diseconomies of scale may result as the increasing bureaucracy of larger firms leads to inefficiency, problems of motivating a larger workforce, and greater barriers to innovation and entrepreneurial activity. A firm operating under diseconomies of scale will want to decrease output and move back toward the minimum efficient scale. The U.S. auto industry is an example of an industry that has exhibited diseconomies of scale. There may be a relatively flat portion at the bottom of the long-run average total cost curve that exhibits constant returns to scale. Over a range of constant returns to scale, costs are constant for the various plant sizes.